Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Moore. This is the Followers Podcast. Love God, love each other, love the earth. I'm not a biblical scholar or pastor or even have a ministry degree. I'm just, as a Apostle Paul states, I'm just a chief sinner. I have a love for God, for people, and the earth. To play off the title of author Eugene Peterson's book, I'm just on a loving, long journey and walk to obedience. And I'm just starting this podcast because I want to share what I've learned so far in my 44 years here on earth. So my mission for this is I'll just do my best to share God's love for everything. And hopefully you'll begin to see, as you listen more to this, that love is central to God's message. And I want to share that with everyone who is willing to listen. So this brings us to the topic that I want to cover this quickly, and it's the parable of the lost son, which is found in Luke 15, 11 through 32. And the parable of the lost son is just basically Jesus' image of what God is like. So, in beginning in verse 11, this is Jesus speaking. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who had squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So that's where we pick up. In verse 12, we see the younger son would have received his inheritance at his father's death, but the younger son already wants his inheritance early, which is very unusual. It's very unusual now to receive an inheritance before someone's death, much less in the Jewish culture. So this is where the younger son sets this big drama in motion. Like many of us, he's rebellious and immature. And we want to be free to live as we want, emphasize we, and not how God wants. So we have here an arrogant son who is only thinking of himself, which is what we often do as humans. I know that's what I often do. Consider myself before I consider God and others. So in verse 14, we see where the son has hit rock bottom. He's reaching the point of powerlessness. And in 15 and 16, he's at his most desperate and low part of his life. Even if he considered eating what the pigs were being fed, and as a Jew, he was not even to touch the pigs, much less be around the pigs. So this was a great humiliation for him. The younger son had truly sunk to the depths of powerlessness, which brings us to this notion of powerlessness, which is often brought up in the 12 steps of Alcoholic Anonymous. And it's the powerlessness is the first step of AA, which says, we admit we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. And it's not just addicts, alcoholics, it's everyone. Our lives become unmanageable when we don't follow what God's teaching. So in verses 17 and 19, here we see the younger son is rehearsing his speech because he wants to return. This is something which we've all done. I know I've rehearsed a speech to a spouse, to a friend, in my mind, trying to come back, trying to apologize for what we've done. So we're just in our minds trying to justify our actions of how we've all messed up. So whether it's in a relationship or just to God, this rehearsing a speech is very common. So I feel like sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom to realize living how we want makes us all powerless. In verse 20, the son goes to his father, who had been waiting patiently for a long time which our Father in heaven does for us. He's always waiting for us to return. He's waiting for us to return to him and continue just to give our life to him. This is the image of everyone who has ever gotten it wrong, which all of us definitely have. We never really get back to God, but he comes running back to us. In verse 22, he invites us to the banquet, but we must be willing to come. The Father is setting up the banquet, and this banquet is often found in the New Testament. God invites us to this quote-unquote banquet or party. He's really just inviting us back to him. So his hand is always open to us to come back to him. That's our freedom. That's our free will to return to him. We can either accept it or not, but it's there always. So in verse 25 and through 28, meanwhile, the older son symbolizes the person who has quote unquote done it right. He has been doing his tithing. He's attending his church. He's obeying the Ten Commandments. He's working with his father. He never left his father. But he hears the celebrating and he gets mad. But the father just wants him to come to the banquet. He just wants him to be in attendance. But he refuses. The older son cannot forgive his brother for hurting the family for all this time. So I feel like we are all both sons. We can be in either role. We can return to God and accept undeserved love and forgiveness, or we can think we deserve more and pout and feel sorry for ourselves, as the older son is doing, and just never even attend the banquet, never even go in. We need to be lost before we can be found. And we need to be able to see that. We need to admit to that. If we can't, it's going to be hard for us to ever return to God or ever fully return to this banquet. So in verses 31, 32, the last two verses, we see it's an easy way to act. It's easy to feel entitled, feel sorry for ourselves, feeling like we didn't get what we deserved. There's that we again. We need to just surrender the we. But really, who deserves anything? Who deserves anything from God? It's just all a gift he's given us. So I encourage everyone to accept it, not fight it. Not fight it in your heart. And if you're refusing to forgive someone, you're missing a great opportunity for joy, a great opportunity to experience joy throughout your life. So forgive someone who's hurting you, and your joy will just continue to grow. Do like the Father. The Father forgave because he was filled with love. And that's what God does for us. He loves and he forgives, and he asks us to do the same with all people. Not just people who look like us, not just people of the same gender, the same race, same backgrounds, but just all people. That's the end. I'm going to say a prayer from Matthew 5. 9 through 13, which is Jesus teaches about prayer. Everybody will know this prayer. So Jesus states, this is then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I thank you for listening, and I want to thank my friends Christian and Leslie for this great opportunity. And also I want to thank Andrew, who I just met 30 minutes ago, for helping me with this, recording this. And thank everybody for listening. May God and love guide you always.